How you guys doing? So our goal isn't just to evangelize, but it's also to disciple. And we have to work with churches. So we actually created a book. My wife and I are involved in a book called Blueprint for a Dreamer, kind of how we walked out our dream. And then we have a study guide for it. They're online. I can't give them any here. I only brought two of them. Pastor Joe already got it. Then my daughter, who just graduated from Oral Roberts University, 14 years old, she wrote a book called I'm Already Famous, He Knows My Name. Both of my daughters, my 15-year-old and my 20-year-old, just both wrote their next book. And then we have to edit it, publish it, do all the other kind of stuff. So did Ronnie make it? Okay, Ronnie's not here. I love you, Ronnie. He just flew in from California. He wanted to see what we're doing. So I'm just sharing you with these here. The church here has been involved with us for we're pushing 26 years. Amen. So every one of those spots, you guys have had a part in it from top to bottom. Amen. With just Pastor Joe and Barbara miraculously here from God and constant support. And we don't always get to come and follow up and check in, but it's a privilege every time we come. So I just want to thank God for you. I'm going to pray real quick. Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you that my tongue is the tongue of a ready writer. I speak that which is just. And he, the Holy Spirit, he's the senior partner. I'm just the junior partner. Let the things come out that need to come out. Let him, your Holy Spirit, touch our lives and propel us to the next step in the name of Jesus. So I'm extremely fast talker. Obviously, you can hear I'm not from this region. I'm from California and Hawaii. We live right now part-time in Idaho, partially because of the last fires in Malibu, and God will work that out as time goes on. But I'm going to talk about walking out your grace. So I move a lot. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Okay. The young people are really good at it because they're so enthralled in their social media that I switch channels all the time, so I click in perfectly with them. My wife does get a little bit perturbed with me because I'm constantly on go, no matter if I'm sleep deprivated or not. So with those videos, now you know a little bit about me. I don't want to share anymore. I keep looking for my friend to see if he made it in. That's what we're doing. You guys have a part. I can't thank God enough for you guys, and I'm really sincerely serious. So one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I've not heard many people say that it's one of their craziest chapters, but I mostly operate in the ministerial gift of an evangelist. I do walk in some other things, but in the fivefold ministry gift, the main one that I lift up, and why do you say lift up? Because Paul said, if you magnify the office, you will access the results or the manifestations of the office. I might be getting a little deep here, but it's necessary to share. So one of my mentors, Patsy Caminetti, she was trained by Brother Hagin, and he said, you don't do it from a pulpit, but privately, you lift up what God says you are, what your office is, and that will solidify your confidence. If I'm going too deep, just say, too deep, but it will solidify your confidence, and as you proclaim over yourself, listen, if you're in the Helps ministry, most of the body of Christ is in the Helps ministry, and if you're in the Helps ministry, you do it amazingly unto God, and you will get the same reward for your call as I'll get for my call, as Pastor Joe and Barbara will get for their call. But you glorify in the office or the position, your ministry gift that you're in. When you get to heaven, your mansion can be just as big as the evangelist or the pastor or the prophet or the apostle, because you fulfilled what God called you to do. Oh, that's a good word, brother. Okay, Naaman, when the little handmaid said, oh, that there were a prophet in the land like so-and-so, and when he got healed, all the glory went to God. It didn't go to the little handmaiden who was working in their house. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Oh, there we go. Oh, I like that. Oh, it's back there too. Sorry, first time I've been here in a long time, and it's just, you guys, it's amazing. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, sandwiched in between this amazing chapter that signifies Jesus' resurrection power. So him crucified, died, buried, and then resurrection power. No other religion, planet Earth, of the 25 other books, nobody else was resurrected. And that resurrection power, Paul talks about it so much in this chapter. He goes, if it's not true, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we're just all living in our sin. I mean, it is so powerful, especially to the gift of an evangelist. Because since Jesus rose from the dead, that resurrection life comes on the inside of you. And if you can access it, you have full coverage from heaven for anything. Healing, okay? Mental situations, financial situations, everything that God's everything that God's deposited in you from the beginning of time, you have something you're supposed to do. And right now the Bible says in Hebrews chapter, anywhere near the end, 12 or 13, it says the people are looking over the grandstands because this is wrapping up soon. And they're going, run your race, we're almost there. Just like that game that's getting ready to play in a couple of minutes. But don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't let me bring any attention because it's only 9 minutes away. Okay? And so this is the thing. I love this chapter, but sandwiched in the middle of it is Paul saying, for the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, I know there's some biblical scholars here. I'm not going to go into Greek stuff. You know, you go to where God says when he comes to Moses and he says, take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy ground. He says, I am that I am. So Paul is saying, by the grace of God, I am that I am. I am what I am. He is believing that what God deposited in him is where he's going to walk the rest of his life. If you study him, Rick Renner says this about Paul. Paul went everything against his cultural upbringing, his dietary habit wasn't just so that he's healthy or not healthy or whatever else. It was his religious duty to keep to that diet specifically to honor God. You might be a good Italian in here. What are you doing? You know, you're going down to the, pizzeria, whatever. Get your pie or go somewhere in the city, to Little Italy. But that food is part of your culture. But then you take the religiosity out of it or put it in there, and then we're doing this as unto God. So you take that away from him. You take his language. You take away his dress. You take away everything, strip him fully, and then he comes and he goes and preaches to a people group that he doesn't amaranth. They're apart from God. They're separated from God. They're dung. And then you go talk to the lowest of scum of the earth is really what amaranth means. He went to talk to them to tell them about his encounter with Jesus Christ. So he's completely stripped of everything, and then he embraces who he is in Christ. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He believes that what God says about him is true. Did I put that up there, the belief part? So first, he believes it. Then the second thing, I'm telling you, Rick Renner, I've had the privilege of having a little time with him, not a ton, but a little time. Had lunch with him one time in Monte Carlo at the Larascas in the harbor, and we were visiting another ministry thing, and a friend of ours, we lost all of our luggage up in Paris. They had a strike. And we had my friend only travels in shorts. We were at these meetings. We had to go buy Hugo Boss suits. We had to turn it into Air France. So I think he thought we were the bodyguards for the main speaker. So he came up and he's talking to us. And I can, je parle un petit peu français. C'est pas de problème. So he said, he asked to go to lunch with us. And my my partner in Monaco says, take the car, go take him to Le Rascasse. And we're sitting there, and I asked him a few questions about this. Everything that Paul was, he emptied completely. Everything. Everything. Think about this. You take away your food, you take away your family, you take away your diet, you take away everything, your religion, every practice that you've ever had. Some of us, we were denominational. I'm from California. I went to a private parochial school. I'm not Italian. You know, I went with Costanzo and Salvatore Russo. They were my friends in California. We got some of those people there. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? And so I went to a good parochial school. We don't need to disparage anything. A couple of my teachers, we called them nuns. Did I just say that?
Yes.
I knew they knew Jesus. Sister Sharon, she knew Jesus. She knew Jesus. I saw the light on her. One Father Mike, I believe he was anointed. He had had an encounter with Jesus. But I couldn't see in everybody, and so I kind of went the other way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Don't raise your hand. Okay. So first of all, Paul, he believed this thing. I am that I, there we go. You got it right there for me. I am that I am. I am. Hallelujah. Sorry, I'm going to enjoy myself too much here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Do we want to put that back up there? Thank you guys for having us again. I have it all in here, but I just like reading my Bible. So I travel a lot, and I've lost a lot of phones. I've lost a lot of Bibles. I've lost a lot of sunglasses in the pocket in front of me on those 14-hour drives, 14-hour plane flights. So I mostly read my Bible on the plane, on my phone. But I try to let people know, especially young people, you want to learn this is your tool.
Amen. Amen.
You want to be able to write in it, scribble in it. That's why I make sure. You want to make sure when God speaks to you about stuff, you can write little notes in there, put little colors in there, make little flowery things in there, color in there, so that you go, oh, look at that, isn't that cute? Because when you need to know that God spoke to you somewhere, you can open up your Bible and say, right there, I heard from God, and I'm not letting it go. I could show you tons of stuff in there. So he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. But his grace toward me was not in vain. So first of all, you got to believe it. You got to believe that his grace is for you. And then he says, but his grace toward me was not in vain. You got to agree with that, that it's coming towards you. You don't have to run from the grace of God. You access the grace. And I was a surfer Hawaii for 8 years, 1 year on Oahu, 7 years on Maui. The biggest waves I got out in were about 7 meters, 20 foot. And now they're riding 110 foot waves. But every night I do 500 push-ups. Every night I do 300 sit-ups. I did everything I could do so that when the waves were big, I could go in the waves. And when you learn to catch the waves and ride them, at first it's difficult. But then today, I could paddle out in about a 10-foot soft wave. And now I'm not talking about a pitching wave.
If it's bigger, did I just cut myself off? If it's bigger, check. I could use my voice, but I know you can drop something. That's fine. Anyway, so I can paddle out in about a 10-foot wave today. The waves today or tomorrow are going to be 3 to 4 foot right out here. Why? Because I check it all the time. No matter when I'm wherever I am, I'm always checking. And so
I'm always focused on, hi, Ronnie. Everyone say hi, Ronnie. So I'm always focused on that, because when you finally do catch the wave, no matter how many times you practice and paddle and paddle and paddle, when you finally catch it, nothing beats the feeling of surfing. Nothing beats the feeling when you cooperate with the grace of God and you learn how to connect with him in your calling, in your gifting. Nothing beats it. Do you get it right away? No. Paul had to believe that everything God stripped him of and then reinvested in him that that was who Paul was supposed to be. Then he had to agree with it. And I got a little end on there, but I'm not going to do that right now. It was, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me, he agreed with it. That grace coming towards him, he embraced it, and it said, and I labored more abundantly than them all. And I say this, three things, believe, agree, and then his act was laboring. Paul knew what it was like for the grace of God to go through him. If he had not cooperated with him, the Holy Spirit, and emptied himself, bless you, if he had not done that, one half to two-thirds of the New Testament would not be here right now. You have a place that you're supposed to do something, and all of heaven, I don't care if you're just an usher. You're not just an usher. You should ush with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? You could have a word for somebody as they're walking in the door, and they could, yeah, as far as you know, they could be right on the verge of, this is it, I'm done. And you could ush them right in to the presence of God. You with me? So you first believe, then you agree, then you act. And so I'm going to share a few things here. For me, agreement is, this is me, this is what I'm supposed to be doing in my calling. I'll tell you, when I get to cooperate with the evangelist anointing, something takes over, okay? It's God, okay? It's not foolishness, you know? Don't twist it any other way. But when you get preaching 10,000 people in Pakistan underneath a mosque, 180 security, 50 of your own guys with Kalashnikovs, and then 130 of police of that state that are there, and then when 5,000 people stand up under a mosque and people are hanging off the windows up there and give their heart to Jesus, and the head cop says, I was going to kill the big white guy if he didn't have a little piece of paper, okay? I knew what I was doing was illegal. I had, because of the grace, I had the impetus to stay there and do what I was supposed to do, and we were going to pray one more time. And they said, no, we have to leave right now because there could be crazy unrest. The next day, we were going to have 20,000, and they'd already made a pact that it was, they were going to take everybody out. I wouldn't be here today. You would have saw me on CNN, NBC, ABC, LMNOP, QRSTU, all the rest of them, or whatever was left of me. But I made it because of the grace. First thing, you believe that it's for you. Second, agree with it. And then the third one, Paul said, I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God. Even everything he did, he turned all the direction, all the glory to God. He took credit for it, but then he turned it all the way to God. And all the things that Paul suffered, all the challenges, all the brutality to his body for the gospel. Sometimes if I told you the last 5 years how challenging it's been, I wouldn't wish it on somebody else, but I'll tell you, it forces you to keep your ear to his heart and obey every day what you're supposed to do. Did you hear what I say? A lot. I mean, the whole world went through it. That wasn't an accident. It was a device of the enemy to stop us. But if you continue to keep your ear to his heart because of the godly, divine project that's on you, I hope it doesn't sound crass, but what his destiny is, you keep your ear to his heart every day. You wake up, you say, what do I do, Lord? What do I do today, Lord? Within the context of your lifestyle, right? You believe, you agree, and then you act. And what's the act? Whatever he tells you that day to do it. So this is what Jesus' testimony was, right? Jesus' testimony was John chapter 5, verse 19. I know I just put this out of order. He said, most assuredly, I say to you that the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whether whatever he does, the Son does in the same manner. You can get to where you're paying close attention while you're in with your calling, right? In the grace of God, sandwich in between 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, in the sandwich in there, you can do what you're supposed to do every day. I don't have anywhere else to go anymore. He has the words of life. I have nowhere else to turn but his way. So let's go back to here. We're going to turn to, I'll just share this. Paul said, I've been sent to the Gentiles, people he didn't necessarily like, to dress like them, to eat like them, to talk like them, even his name. Now, I've had a couple communications with you. You know, all that Paul was the Gentile version of Saul. He had to speak the same thing. You know, when I lived in France, the people there, they didn't call me Cliff. They called me Cliff. Bonjour, Cliff. Comment ça va? So really, Saul was the Jewish name. Paul, I know we can turn it around and say, you know, he became, but Paul was just the Gentile name that he was able to cooperate with them and speak their language. So now let's look real quick at Jesus, okay? Here's somebody cooperating with the grace of God. John chapter 2, verse 1. Sorry about the double microphone here. Hopefully there'll be a double message right here. John chapter 2, verse 1. So there's some Greek scholars here, I'm sure. So don't be slicing and dicing me on anything. Here's John. On the third day, I'm sorry, in the book of John, here's Jesus, chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. You know, this is just a good social event, right? Right? I mean, come on, we're on the Jersey Shore, right? We got a lot of these kind of things, right? Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus turns to him and says, they have no wine. To me, she turns to him and says, I need you to find a solution for this right now. And I'm not going to say this is 100%, but most likely Jesus was attending to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the first command with a promise. And I believe God activated Mary to say, Jesus, your time has come. And what does Jesus say? Listen, I looked it up all sideways, backwards, forward. He goes, woman. And it wasn't the kindly, okay, am I correct? He wasn't going, hey, mama, this ain't, no. He was like, woman, my time has not come. Some of them suggest it was a question. Is my time come? And she doesn't even respond to Jesus. She turns to the servants and she puts a demand on the gift. And she says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And what does Jesus do? I believe at that moment, we are three-part beings. We have a spirit that's created in the image of God. We live in an earth suit, a body. Scientists have broken down. Our bodies consist of exact same composition as the earth, as the dirt. And then we have a soul, mind, will, and emotions that we choose which direction, the body, the flesh, or the spirit. And on a night like this, I'm talking to the right crowd. This is where your spirit gets stronger and stronger. And I follow him as an artist and a writer, probably differently than somebody else who maybe is more numerical. I love baseball, but I can't get in love with it. You know what I'm saying? It's always the numbers guys who love baseball. Is that true or not true? Right? It's just like, I'm like, give me some action, man. Somebody run into somebody. Somebody hurt somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's like, not just like, okay, I got that part, but come on, somebody get moving. I know, there's some people here like looking at me, but we're all wired differently. That's my point. So when he shows me something in the way I've developed my walk, I follow that. I believe when Jesus
When his mother said that, I believe it activated his anointing, and he said, I only do what I see my father doing. And I think at that point, he said, servants, get the empty, or get the jars, fill the cisterns, and then carry it to them. And they had no option but to follow directions. And when they cooperated with the grace that Jesus said, it opened the door for miracles. Are you hearing me? Every one of us, it's the last days. It's the times of the miracles. It's the time for the grace to cooperate. But we have to believe we are who he says we are. We have to agree with it. That, listen, the Bible says the demons believe, but they tremble. They can't operate in the will of God. We can sit and just wait for something to happen, but until the servants, not Jesus, until the servants carried the water, and they're probably thinking, we're going to take this to the headmaster of this marriage? Are you kidding me? This is crazy. But they had no options but to obey. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and then I do it. But how do you get to that point? I believe Paul figured out how to do only what he saw his Father doing, even when he was beaten. I mean, I'm telling you, the way I just went around the world in 25 days. That was slow. The fastest I was 7 days. Well, the planes took me. But then people go, how do you do it? I go, Paul would have said, you wimp, Cliff. You have air-conditioned planes. You have a car that takes you to the airport. You can slide up in those Saks Fifth Avenue blankets in the hotel, and you have food downstairs. There's no wild animals. Well, maybe in the hotels there are wild animals, but you know what I'm saying? Paul would have said, what are you doing? This is nothing. Your back is not beaten. You're not in stocks. You just get to go preach the gospel and travel around the world. By the grace of God, I am what I am, right? He said, and this grace was towards me. And he says, I labored more abundantly than them all. But it was God's grace that was pouring in. I tie it in with surfing because until you get on that wave and you figure out how to keep doing it, and then all of a sudden you're like, this is easy. And then it just gets bigger and bigger. And I remember paddling out in like 18-foot waves. We call them 6 to 8 foot, 12 to 15-foot waves. We call it off the back. And I remember going over the falls one time, and everything was in slow motion. And I was like, I'm in big waves again. You can get with your walk with God. Listen, there's times you got pounded on the coral. You came up, and there's blood all over you. I actually broke a toe one time on my way out. I jumped on a rock. I didn't know it was broken. When I came in, it was just because I wanted to surf. Now I just want to serve. Okay, I would go surfing tomorrow morning because it's 3 to 4 foot right out there tomorrow morning. It's clean, too. I know because I already surfed. Why? Because my heart is still engaged in that, just like you believing, agreeing, and then acting on it. His mother directed him to answer the need. John chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus' first miracle. Did I read any of the scripture? On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, yes. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what is your concern? Mine's in New King James English. Have to do with me. My hour has not come. Some say possibly, he's like, you think this is my hour? Then his mother challenged him, I believe, by God. Said, whatever he says to you, do it. And they got the water pots, and when they did it, and when they obeyed, the miracles happened. When I'm training youth leaders, I have two scriptures, especially youth pastors, John chapter 14, verse 15, and I'm almost, am I okay? Yeah, I'm okay. John chapter 14. No, I like to cooperate with the pastor. I like to be on time, make sure he's not stressing because I'm doing the clover leaf right down the street on the Garden State Parkway. So when I'm there, I'm working with youth pastors and youth leaders and youth. I say, John chapter 14 says, if you ask, John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That word love is the agape word. If you unconditionally love me, he says, keep or adhere or abide in my commands. What commands? What you've gotten in the Bible, what you've gotten from ministers that you trust and obey, you know, cooperate with. I've had little children give me words before by the leading of the Lord. And it bore witness with my spirit, with my heart. And I'm like, that was God right there. What are his commands? I've had God speak to me in dreams. He says, I need you to do this. And I've obeyed and I got blessed or I got protected or whatever. The word, what you hear and hear on a large scale, on a small scale, sometimes he just whispers to your heart and you know you're supposed to do it. So when I'm teaching youth leaders and youth, I say, if you love me, keep my commandments. So Warren Buffett up in Sun Valley several years ago, they were interviewing him and they said, could you give us some advice on wealth? And I know right where he was in Elkhorn, not far from where I'm renting a condo right now. And he said two things. He said, when I was young, my father gave me unconditional love. He said, no matter what I went out and did, if I came back, he accepted me. This is the way he presented it. He said, I'm not talking about non-judgmental love. He said, that's a beast of a different nature because he would try to correct me, but he accepted me. I knew I was accepted. And then he said, the second thing, when I was in, I don't know, eighth or ninth grade, something like this, the teacher says, write your name at the top of the paper, start to read through these questions. And he's reading through the questions. She says, when you're done with a test, or she says, read through all the questions and then start to answer them. So they start reading them through, and he starts to answer the first one, and he's the next one, and he starts seeing people around him putting his pencils down. And he's like, these people can't be smarter than me. What are they doing? And he gets all the way to the end, and it says, now that you've read through the test, put your pencil down. You don't have to answer them. And he said, at that moment, he realized he couldn't follow directions. So he said two things. My father accepted me 100%. And the second thing is I realized I had to start to learn to follow directions. He calls himself agnostic. He said, if there's a God, I don't know him, but I don't necessarily don't believe in God. I'm not an atheist, but I don't necessarily believe in God. And all of a sudden it hit me. Warren Buffett lives by John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, unconditionally love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. You will put those boundaries, how you will walk out your life, how you will cooperate with the grace of God. And then I go to John chapter 14, verse, you have it up there? Seeing if they were going to beat me. He says, verse 21, and he says, if you love me, he who has my commandments, once again he's saying what I'm telling you to do, and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and he says, and I will manifest myself to him. I say, youth leaders and to people, you want to see manifestations of him, the Holy Spirit? You want to see your prayers getting answered? You love him unconditionally, trust that your Father has you, and then cooperate with the grace, right? Believe and agree, and then you do what he says. In the airport, at the grocery store, he's not going to tell you to go take a nation if you can't at least tell your neighbor about Jesus. If you can't go bring cookies to your neighbor, sit down with them and start to share with them, we're in a lost and dying world. It's never been more evident than after the pandemic. Some people lost it. I have people that I know that have totally lost it because they got so isolated. I literally, during the pandemic in Sun Valley, somebody invited me for dinner. I went to their house. They weren't there. And I'm like, my wife's like, come back, have dinner. Come on. They're not there. And the Holy Spirit, as I'm driving the car around, he said, go back one more time. Go back to their house. And the man said this. I pulled back and he said, I wondered where you were. I just ran to get the mail. He said, I told Jesus today, I'm so lonely. I need somebody to spend time with. He died like 4 months later from the virus. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. And if you keep my commands, that shows that you love him, and he and the Father will manifest himself to you. He'll answer your prayers. He'll meet you. Why does it feel like time is moving so slowly? He will meet you. Paul had to believe that the grace was there to change everything about him. Then Paul had to agree that the grace was rushing toward him. And then Paul said, I had to labor or act more than everybody else, but it was God's grace. I can only explain it. I know that feeling when you're paddling into a wave and you get so proficient that you can ride the wave. That's what I see Paul running with the grace of God. It's time for us to fulfill what God's called us to do. If you're here on the shore, if you're even far away as New York, wherever you are, it's our time to fulfill and walk out our grace, because I believe he's coming sooner than most people think. And that's going to require you, like Warren Buffett said, to put it all on the line, to know that the Father will take you back as long as you're within the commands. What has God spoken to you? What has he told you you're supposed to be doing? Listen, if you are an usher, you should be looking in the mirror saying, you are the greatest usher I have ever seen. God gives you words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophetic utterances for the people coming in the door. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. You should be, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, you should be out there going, man, the time is like, I feel like I'm like a time warp. Looks like I've been there 16 minutes for 20 minutes. You should be so full of the Holy Spirit that you could be giving words to people. If your gift is in giving, you should be asked, Lord, where should I give? What project should I do? If your gift is in evangelism, you have to. When I went to Bible college, I said, God, I'm so full of Jesus that I have to tell other people about Jesus. So I went downtown. Back then, there was nobody downtown in Tulsa. And I'm looking around at the buildings. I'm like, I got to tell somebody about Jesus. And then I'm in prayer school one day, and he says, go to Goshen, the good land. So I went in my suit and my tie, suit coat and my tie, and I would go witness in the coolest area of the town. And if nobody would go with me, I said, Lord, what do I do? You said, send him out by twos. And I had some problems going by myself, okay? And I won't even go into that. But he said, stand on the street corner and preach to people in the best area. It'd be like Upper East Side of Manhattan out on the street corner. I'm not talking about Harlem. I'm not talking about, and I remember one day this woman pulls up. So I was a nice-looking young man. You know, I'm aging. I understand that. And I'm dressed in a suit, and I'm preaching on the street corner, and the Lord showed me where to preach. And the bank manager came out with the security, and I wasn't breaking any laws. You can't stop somebody standing on the street corner. And this lady pulled up in a white Mercedes with a blonde bob. She was older than I wasn't interested. And she goes, what are you doing? And I said, I'm telling people about Jesus. They're dying to know. And she said, I know Jesus. And I said, you need to go tell some. And then 2 weeks later, I'm in the south of France on the Promenade des Anglais with the Madden's mother. And she's wearing her pearls. She was a Jewish convert, spoke five languages. She would wear her pearls and her high heels on Wednesday and walk out on the Promenade des Anglais.
Vous connaissez Jésus-Christ entré dans l'église. Il est à 7 heures de nuit. Come and visit church.
And I was clocked out of Wednesdays in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and clocked right into the Promenade des Anglais in the south of France and telling people about my Jesus. The grace of God. Walking out your grace of God. You got to believe, you've got to agree, and you've got to act. Some of you here, everyone close your eyes just real quick. I know it's a Wednesday service. You might say, I don't know if I'm even straight with Jesus. You got to believe that he came to die for you. And then you've got to agree. How do you agree? You say, I'm willing to receive him. And then you act by inviting him in. And if there's somebody here, you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, or you've wandered far enough away that you would say, if I died tonight, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I'm not talking about you've said it like 20 times. I'm just saying that, you know, tonight you're like, wow, I need to agree with the grace of God that was sent to me when Jesus died on the cross. If that's you, quickly raise up your hand. I want to pray for you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see those three hands. Everyone just say this to me. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you paid the price for my sin. Come into my heart. Wash me clean. Let me never be the same again. All right, everyone look up. If that's your first time or you recommitted, try to find a leader afterwards and tell them. Pastor Joe said I was coming back from India, Dubai, Israel, here, and like a couple men came up after the Bible study or the 7 a.m. one and said, I'd never done that before. Go find a leader. Is that correct? Do I actually have that many minutes or do I not? I do. Okay. So the second thing is, Spirit of God is here right now. And if you say this, you say, okay, I believe, I'm agreeing a little bit, but I'm not acting in any way. Or you say, I'm believing, but I'm not necessarily agreeing. The next step is you go, okay, I need a little bit more to get on my path. He's coming soon. People ask me why I go so much. I'm like, because I'm going to tell as many people, go as many countries as I can. I've only got 58. There's another 140 plus, according to CIA World Factbook, that if I can make those 140 before I go home, I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try. But if you would say, you know, I need a little bit of a ministry from him, the Holy Spirit, I want to just lay hands on you real quickly, if that's okay. All right? If that's you, raise up your hand just so I know how many people would be willing to come down for prayer. And you say, okay, I see that hand. Okay. So then, okay, I just don't want it to be overwhelming. Okay, all of you who raise your hand, come down here. I just want you to line up. Do we have ushers who ush? Spirit-filled ushers who are ready to ush? You got to have the ushers. I'm not trying to be facetious. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I was in a church in Michigan. Sometimes the Lord shows me things. And I saw these crowns on people's heads. I said, Lord, I've got leaders that will tell me you can't just make stuff up. And the darkest man I'd ever seen at that time came up. And the pastor had said he was a lost boy. That was all I knew. When I went to lay hands on him, I saw like these crowns on three different people's heads. And I'm like, Lord, people are going to think I'm making this up. Well, when I touched Jacob, Atem is his last name, I saw a crown of thorns on his head.
I said, Lord, it's not really a good thing in our circles. And the Lord says, tell him what you see. And I said, okay. I said, Jacob, I see a crown of thorns on your head. And then I had my hand on his belly. And as I went to take my hand off, he said, tell him that when he was young, he was carried where he didn't want to be carried. And when he's old, he's going to be carried. No, when he was young, he walked where he wanted to walk. When he's old, he's going to be carried where he doesn't want to be carried. And I go, that wasn't a blessing. He comes running back to me with a big smile on his face. He said, I was one of the lost boys of Sudan. He goes, at 6 years old, they killed my mother and my father. 20,000 of us boys got away and ran in the woods. You know what they did to the girls in Sudan. And he said, and then we walked across the desert to the Nile and got into Ethiopia. He said, lions would hunt us at night. And I, for whatever reason, it didn't click into me. He said that. And when it would rain, we would lift up our faces and praise God and lift up our, and I'm like, because they were in the desert. He said, we got to the Nile. Most of us drowned before crocodiles could eat us. But I went on my cousin's back and they turned us around. And I promised the Lord I would say what I see. So if I do say something, just put it in your back pocket if it means nothing. Okay? Because obviously I'm not imperfect, but I still remember, Beth, seeing a crown on your head. I still remember. That's why I always call you Queenie. Because there's a gifting and a calling, and I don't know how far everything's going, but I just want to challenge you. Don't let that go. I mean, we were out there, and I was like, I still see on your head. You still have a work to fulfill. I know we haven't talked very often, but I'm just saying, I'm going to say the way I'm hearing it. Pick up the scepter and run your race. Finish what he's called you from the beginning of time. Amen? You receive that? Okay, so I'm going to lay hands on people very quickly. If I say something, that's why I tell that. If I say something, do your best to remember. If I don't, I don't know how I can do this with a microphone, but we got catchers, ushing. So I'm going to give away this. I can speak loud regardless, so can I give this to you? Hallelujah. Challenging you, this don't take this lightly. Amen. Amen. Okay. Top of our head, souls are feet. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. For him, the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Father, we just command this body to line up with the Word of God. Top of his head, he himself bore our sins on the tree, that we, being dead unto sin, would live unto righteousness. Thank you for infusion of him, the Holy Ghost, the healer, cause and effect, a change in the name of Jesus. Top of her head, soles of her feet. Thank you, Father, taking her to the next level. Thank you, Lord, for him, the Holy Spirit. Never, never, never the same again. Never the same again. Top of his head, soles of his feet, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's right there, right there. That's right there. Okay, so I see this purity crown on your head, okay? Sometimes it's not always a positive thing. It means pick up purity, but it could be the other way. Don't listen to me necessarily. Walk in him, okay? Walk in him as he is pure, you be pure. He'll help you, he'll change you, or it will spill out on other people and their lives will be changed in the name of Jesus. Top of her head, soles her feet. There he is right there. That's him. That's the Holy Ghost right there. Shake her, Father. Shake her, shake her. Fire God, the fire God, the fire God, Lord, right there. Shake her, shake her, shake her. Never, never, never the same again, Lord. Never the same again. She came up here, Lord, of her own accord. Father, take her to the next place. And Jesus, never, Father, never the same again. A new fire, Father. Well, that's the Spirit of God right there. He's touching you right now. Father, shake her, shake her, shake her, shake her right there, Lord. Shake her. Help her see what you've called her to do and fulfill it for your glory, for your honor, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There he is right there. There he is right there. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Never, never the same again. Never. She said, I'm coming. I'm coming. I want it actuated. I want it actuated. I want his grace operate in my life, Father. Help her. Help her. Help her, Lord. Help her believe. Help her agree and help her act, Lord. Top of her head, soles, her feet. Never, never. That's him right there. Real gentle. Like I just see this flower like a daisy. I don't know if it means anything to you, but I see it real clear. You know, the Bible says that flowers could be on king's tables or it could be in a field, but it brings great glory to him. Yeah, there it is right there. That's him, the Holy Spirit right there. Glory to God. Shake her, Lord. Let her know you bring her great delight, Lord. Jesus' name. Top of her head, soles her feet. Wow, there he is right there. That's him, the Holy Ghost. Okay, initiate it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Never, never the same again. Never, never the same again. I'm not even touching you yet. You sense the Holy Ghost. He's on you right now. Yeah, he's on you right now. I do this on purpose sometimes so people know I got nothing to do with it. I'm just a water vessel, okay? But he's pouring out on you. Close your eyes, lift your hands. You're surrendering. Lift them all the way up. Just go, you can take it all, Lord. Take it all. That's what I did. I said, Lord, take it all. Take it all. Take it all. Never the same again, Father. Never the same again. Right now, Father, shake her. Let your fire go from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. Let people come watch her burn. Father, where she's done the other guy for a little while, where she spent time being a fool for him, let her be a fool for Jesus, for your glory, for your honor. So I see fire in your hands. To me, that's gifts of healing, working in miracles. If the compassion of God, when the compassion of God hits you, if you'll lay hands on people, you'll see miracles, signs, and wonders. You won't be able to take credit for it. Just like you were crazy before for the other guy. Yeah, that happened, didn't it? Yeah. You can be crazy for God. People will be weird about it, but I'll tell you, lives will be changed in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. That's him. That's him. That's him. Just do it. He's going to give you something. I don't, like I said, for me, I get pictures. I get like whispers, and I obey. Do it. Okay? I'm telling you, crazy stuff's going to happen. Glorifying God stuff. Top of his head, several soles of his feet, Father. Let him never, never be the same again, Father. So I see this crown on your head. I see this gold crown. Sometimes that, to me, that means like business or something like that. And it's for the kingdom. And I don't know if it's true. Only your people know. Only you'd know. But I see it. I see this beautiful golden crown on your head. To me, something you're supposed to do with resources for the kingdom doesn't mean anything. Throw it out. But if it does, pick it up and run with the top of her head, soles of her feet. Let your healing power go through her body, Father. Cause and effect and a cure for anything going on in her. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you guys for staying longer. Thank you. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. So I see a funny thing. I see like a daisy that's been dyed, you know, with color, you know, with whatever you call it. What do you call it? Anyway, food dye. Yeah, there we go. I see this pink one. Okay. You're a blessing to the Lord. You're a blessing to the Lord. He sees you as like a precious thing in his sight. Father, never, never the same again. She said, yes, Lord. She came up. She said, yes. Touch her, touch her, touch her. Touch her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just lift your hands. Are you wondering what's going on? Okay, you're good. There we go. Lift your hands all the way. Top of her head, soles, or feet, Father. Never, never. That's him right there. That's him. That's the Holy Ghost, Father. She came up. Take her up on it, Lord. Take her up on it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You sense him moving on you right now, don't you? It's just him. I'm just the guy. I'm nothing. probably won't remember me next week. Lift your hands, lift your hands. He's pouring out on you right now. So this is what I'm seeing right now. I'm seeing like honey going from the top of your head, just rolling down, just the sweet presence of the Lord. Yeah, you sense it. You sense it. The sweet presence of the Lord. Never, never the same again, Lord. Never, never the same again, Lord. She says, yep, Lord. Actuate it, Lord. Actuate it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Give her a vision. Give her a peace. Give her something to step out and act on in Jesus' name. Lift your hands up. Were you already up here? Or you just decided you're going for it, huh? You just decided. It's okay. He saves the best for last, right? Lift your hands all the way. Top of her head, soles of her feet. Oh, there he is right there. That's him. That's him. That's him. That's him. Glory to God, Father. She came up and said it, so I see fire in your hands. If you'll get bold and lay hands on the sick, you'll see miracles happen. But you have to get bold. You have to take a step and know, like Paul did, I am that I am. This is who I am. I'm supposed to lay hands on people. They're supposed to get healed. So, Lord, initiate in my life. And as you lay hands on people, things will happen. Jesus' name. Are we okay? Ah, somebody else wants to sneak up. Okay, as long as Pastor Joe's okay, as long as everyone's okay. You guys sense the presence of God here, right?
Yes.
He's here. I mean, he's here.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Never the same, Father. Never the same, Lord. Shake her, Father. Jesus' name. She came up on her own, Lord. She came up on her own. Take her that spot, Father. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, one more? Oh, okay, good. I like that, right? Just kind of get in line after they're about ready to close the doors. Lift your hands up, okay? Lift your hands up. I just like to cooperate with the pastor, okay? Father, tell me your name.
Ryan.
Ryan. Father, for Ryan, Lord. Give him the best that you're saying for last, Father. Never. That's him right there. That's him right there. Shake him, Lord. Shake him, Lord. He said, yes, sir. He came up. That's him right there. Shake him, Lord, in Jesus. Jesus' name. So I see that same fire. If you'll get bold, lay hands on people, you'll see miracles happen. But you got to be bold. Reinhard Bonnke taught us when the compassion of God hits you, that's where you see the greatest things. So you just got to be bold and do it. Say, okay, can I pray for you, please? Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Did I get everybody? Wow, guys, the presence of God's really nice here right now. Thank you for all you help do us, help us with. We are so grateful for you. You guys can go back. Thank you. Like I said, I lost track of time. We didn't go that long, though. Pastor Joe, we love you guys. And I can't wait to see what happens next. Amen.
Amen. What, isn't that an awesome time? Amen. We would love, if you have it in your heart where you want to partner with this awesome ministry, Cliff Graham's ministry, we want to give you an opportunity to do so. We know he travels all over the world and so many parts of the world that many people would not travel to and spread the gospel. And so we may not be able to do that, but if we, you know, by partnering in faith, to this awesome ministry, we are planting those seeds. And so if you would like to partner with this awesome ministry, you can fill out an offering envelope. You can put on the envelope GS for guest speaker. Also, you can also give online. I believe there is a, if you go to newbeginningsnj.org/give, there is a tab for guest speaker. And what we will do is we will present Cliff Graham with a one check. And I know that it will be a tremendous blessing as he goes out and does what God has called him to do. Amen? Amen. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for this night. Lord God, I thank you for all that you've imparted in us. Lord God, thank you, Lord, for Cliff. Thank you for his family. Thank you for a hedge of protection around his comings and goings, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for greater anointing, fresh oil for this season, Lord God, as he continues to say yes to the call and respond to your voice, Lord God. And so we love you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Ushers, you can receive the offering. Just a few reminders. Just some things that I've noticed in this message that really stood out to me about walking out the grace of God. Believe, agree, and act. Amen. If God called, believe, agree, and act. We have no option but to obey. Amen. So God has birthed dreams and visions in each one of us. And sometimes it may be a little bit scary to step out, but God has called us. If he called you to something, he's going to grace you to walk through it. And so this is encouraging for all of us, whatever capacity that we're serving the kingdom, to be stretched and to do what God has called you to do. Believe, agree, and act. And love people well. Amen. Love Jesus and love people. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless you. We hope to see you this weekend. We pray you have an awesome week ahead. God bless you.